And we've got Jesse Ventura this hour. We're going to take your phone calls with him and chat more with him about some of the things he's been up to in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Jesse Ventura with us. We'll get to your calls in just a second. Jesse, so the show, the Aura show, was Tuesday through Friday, 4 days a week, and you start at at noon Pacific time, right?
Yeah, 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific.
Super. And what is it, about a 30-minute show?
Oh, gosh, no. The Internet is fast-moving. The most shows, you know, sometimes I'll get going and it'll go more and more, but generally, it's 10 to 12 minutes.
Because, okay, real quick
people
stuff.
People move on the Internet. You can't keep them for an hour. It's not like radio. It's not like traditional television. I've learned that since being a part of it.
And you pick the guests, or your staff does?
Oh, no. I don't have guests necessarily. I'm not Larry King.
Okay.
You know, Larry King's the best interview man, in my opinion, out there, pretty much. And I'm not Larry King. I'm the opposite. I'm the guy who gets interviewed.
That's right.
So this is a show where you get 10 to 12 minutes of Jesse Ventura, and the only thing missing is Mean Gene.
Ah, okay.
Follow me?
Yep. Okay.
See, no, I have a command center, and I go back to my guy, Alex Logan, and Alex will fire out whatever's going on and give the statistics on it, and I'll react to it.
All right. That makes sense.
This show's not, my show is not, I do interview people, you know, and I'll talk and do, you know, I've had Ron Paul on with me and different people like that, you know, Governor Gary Johnson and people like that. So I will do interviews, but they're much more talk interviews between us talking and having civil conversation rather than your pointed interview.
And people can watch it anytime on the Internet. There's no cost, is there?
Oh, yeah, no, they can pick it up. You know, it's on at those scheduled times, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. But like anything on the Internet, you can go at your convenience. That's what makes the Internet. So why do you think everyone's switching to it? Because the Internet caters to you, and you watch everything when you want to watch it.
Yeah, on demand.
Yeah.
Let's take some calls for you. Jack in Lancaster, Kentucky. He's on the wild card line. Hey, Jack, get us going here. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, George. I want to start a new trend. We're coasters that listen to your show every night.
Yes, you are.
So coasters. Call us coasters. I want to say it's an honor to speak to you, Governor Ventura. Big fan of your old TV show. Hate that it went off the air. We used to sit around and try to bust your conspiracy theories, and honestly, they were all mostly true. We found out, and I am a political science major, so my question to you, sir, is, and I am a registered independent, and I know you were an independent when you were governor there in Minnesota, and I was wondering, with all that you've done in your past, and I've researched your past quite intensely, do you think, and this is serious, and I am going to research this new Internet show that you do, because I would love to interview. I used to be in radio. Are you seriously thinking that you can contend as president? Because I would honestly consider voting for you, sir. And I'll take the answer to that response off air. Thank you.
There you go, Jesse. There you go.
Well, you know, here's the deal. If I did run, and I say if, because I, you know, me running, you know, I don't know if it would ever happen. It's so grassroots. But let's say hypothetically, if I did run, I would run, George, on one issue. I really would.
The truth.
And here's what it would be. I would challenge the American people in light of the political climate today. I would challenge the American people to make history and elect me president, and I would become only the second American president who does not belong to a political party, with George Washington, the father of our country, being the only other one. So the American people could make history by electing the first president since George Washington who does not belong to a political party. And I believe, George, you could win on that.
You could. There's no doubt. Let's make history right now. Who would you pick? Who would you pick as your vice presidential running mate?
Well, I would tell you right now, politically, the guy who I would want to grab would be Angus King, the independent, new independent senator from Maine. He was the independent governor from Maine when I was independent governor of Minnesota. We used to hold the independent governor's caucus. They would give the Democrats a building and they would give the Republicans a building. Well, Angus and I, we would have to walk down Constitution Avenue and sit on the park bench.
I love it.
And we'd have the independent governor's caucus. And the laughable part, the hordes of media followed us.
Of course. So he's the one you'd pick.
He would be my first choice politically, would be Senator Angus King from Maine.
This will make headline news tomorrow. You know that.
Well, I consider Angus a friend, an ally. He had been governor independent governor of Maine 4 years prior to me. He was in his second term when I got my first. I just got all the publicity. But I used to consult Angus quite often.
Have Alex Jones as your press secretary. Our buddy Alex. Let's go to Jason in Oahu. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, George,
thanks for calling.
Jesse, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I've gone to mainland 6 months out of the year, and I travel, and I import pearls, and I go door-to-door, and I sell the pearls.
Good for you.
And I probably talk to 300 or 400 people a day. If I was to say get on board with Angus and Ventura for 2016, is there anything I can do or pass out or like grassroots style ballot initiatives?
It's building.
What can I do to help you to get the ball rolling here?
Do you know what you could do locally that would help all the world, especially the United States? Work locally to get the political parties' names off of ballots, off of election ballots. Why are they on there?
Ah, I like that.
Why did they put those on there? They put them on there to keep the people stupid. Because if you're conservative, you don't have to know the candidate. You can just walk in and look for the word Republican. If you're liberal, you look for the word Democrat. That's all done by design. Locally, if you remove those names from the ballot and just put the candidate's name, then it becomes imperative for citizens to educate themselves, and that's what our forefathers wanted to happen.
Good. Well, you got my vote, Jesse, and I'll definitely put the word out when I'm out there pounding the streets for you.
Wait a minute.
Okay, Jason.
Before you start doing, I ain't running yet. All I'm doing is George is getting me into trouble.
I am. I'm getting you pushed in.
You know, I'm just saying this is hypothetical if I were to attempt to do it. But like I told, you know, getting me off my new show is going to be very difficult.
See, here's the good thing about doing the show you're doing on the Internet. If you were doing it on regular media, you'd have to resign if you're going to run for office because you can't do both. You can do both for a while.
In fact, George, that's what happened when I ran for governor of Minnesota. I was doing a statewide talk radio show.
That's right.
I was the only candidate who had to lose his job for 6 months. I went unemployed for 6 months to run for governor while my two opponents were sitting at the public trough collecting tax dollars and doing the same thing I was doing, and I had to lose my job over it. But with this job on the Internet, with Aura.tv, there's no FCC regulation.
No, you don't have to
quit. I could use this show to run for president if I wanted to.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. First-time caller John in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, John, take it away.
Oh, my goodness. Jesse, the whole country loves you. The whole country loves you.
I love my country. I love it, too, but I don't like winter, so I like getting south in the winter.
We know that. I have two questions to ask you, and they're quick, but just before that, there are 10 or 12 websites, and I'm sure that you know of them. I'm not going to mention them. They all say the U.S. dollar is going to collapse. I want your opinion on the U.S. dollar being the reserve currency, and I would like your opinion on gold, and God bless you, Jesse, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, John. The U.S. dollar. We're going to lose it?
I think there's certainly a movement towards making us like Europe. And it all goes to this bigger movement of a one world government. And I really believe it's there are people that advocate for that. And I believe there are powerful people that do it. And I believe it's a reality that we need to address because we're evolving towards it. Now, maybe like evolution, which I do believe in, maybe it's inevitable, George. Maybe eventually, yes, this planet will be under a one-world government. But I don't see it for a while yet.
I agree. What about gold and silver?
And now, here's my point. I think they're trying to get us, Canada, and Mexico under one currency. And the way they do that is by destroying the United States' middle class.
Which they're doing
as we talk. And so it's not beyond reality. Look what they've done to Europe. They're under one currency now. And I can see them attempting to do it here. And so the only way they do that is they ignore gold and silver, which they've done ever since, I think, who was it, Nixon or whatever?
Yeah, Nixon was the one who did that.
Yeah, Nixon took us off the gold standard or whatever.
Would you go to Cuba and try to talk to Fidel and say, hey, enough is enough?
I've already been to Cuba and talked to Fidel.
You have?
Yeah, I did it when I was governor.
And what did you think
George, I'm the only elected official, all elected.
Isn't it true he turned to us first and we rejected him, so he went to the Soviets?
Fidel, when Katrina hit in New Orleans, Fidel offered us 100 doctors, and George Bush turned him down.
Nobody even knew that.
Oh, yes, they did. It just wasn't reported.
Well, that's what I mean.
Fidel Castro, who would know more about hurricanes than Fidel?
He was right
Cuba
there.
Cuba gets hit with them all the time. Fidel has a phenomenal medical system down there. That's the one thing Cuba's got. Cuba's got education.
They've got good education.
I'll give you good medical. I mean, they've got both of those.
They still have old cars, but they've got great education out there.
And great medical. Fidel offered 100 doctors. Now, isn't that holding out the dove for a guy who's never done nothing against us?
And isn't it amazing? He's outlived all of them.
Absolutely.
All of them.
No, I got to meet Fidel. I spent an hour with him.
Was he frail?
No, not then. This was 2002. He was right on. I wore a watch then. And I had an hour with him, and at 40 minutes, I just glanced at my watch briefly. And he looked at me, and he goes, I'm sorry, am I keeping you from something? And so I knew, I was honest. I said, no, sir. But I said, you've only given me an hour. And I said, I wanted to check, and I only have 20 minutes left. And I said, I'd like to ask you some personal questions. And he said, ask me anything you'd like. And I said, I would like to ask you your impression of the murder of John Kennedy.
What did he say?
Oh, I couldn't shut him up. The first thing he said, it was an inside job. He said Oswald could never make the shots. He said he was close to the Soviets at that time. And the Soviets' response to Kennedy was, you can talk to this man.
That's fantastic.
And then he told me about how he's a journalist from France. I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now. But Kennedy had sent him there, and he was talking to Castro, and they were setting up a meeting. And Castro felt strongly Kennedy was going to change the policy on Cuba.
You know what? I kind of figured he was going to do that, too. Did he ever talk about the mob and Batista?
No, he didn't, because I didn't have enough time. I only had 20 minutes with him, and we only talked about the murder of President Kennedy.
That's fascinating.
And then he said this, because I said to him, you know, you come up in many of these scenarios. And he looked me right in the face. He says, do I look suicidal? He said it was an inside job. He said, if I would have attempted to kill your president, my country would have been wiped off the face of the earth.
A smart man. Yep.
You know, no, I found it, Castro very, very interesting to talk to. I could go on and tell you a bunch of stuff, but we don't have time for it.
Did he have a lot of security all around him, Jesse?
You know, it was interesting. he gave me three of his own personal bodyguards for the time that I was there. Yeah, no, he did. And, oh, my God, my guys were there, too, and my guys were armed. The only time my guys had to give up their weapons was when I actually went in and met with Fidel. And then as soon as Fidel was gone, my guys' weapons were returned to them.
That is something.
And but you should have seen, oh, I spoke at the University of Havana, right? And crowded all on the outside. We come walking up with these three Castro bodyguards. The big one looked like Teofilo Stevenson, you know, that fighter?
Yeah.
It might have been him for all, I don't know.
It could have been.
He's wearing one of these Panama white shirts. And as we approach the crowd, he just like moves his wrist with a little half moon movement. The crowd separated like Moses parting the sea.
That's funny. You didn't even have to touch him.
Oh, he didn't. He just moved the wrist. I turned to my security guys and gave them heat. I said, how come you guys can't perform like that?
That must have been pretty fascinating.
Oh, it was. It's a time of my life. The 5 days I spent in Havana are 5 days that I will remember for the rest of my life. My picture is now in the Hotel Nacional bar.
So I assume as president, you would make relations with Cuba back on the forefront again.
I would do more than that. I would guarantee them within a year that I would return Guantanamo to them. Their island. What the hell do we have a base on Cuba for?
Good point. Wild card line. Roger in Manchester, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Rog.
Hi, yeah, Jesse. Very, very big fan for a very long time. It's an honor to talk to you and be able to ask you this question. Towards your conspiracy theory shows, which, again, I was a huge fan of, I think in one of your shows you mentioned the possibility of having to go off the grid because of some of the topics on your shows. And I'm wondering if you're voluntarily off the grid right now or if you're off the grid because it's in your best interest to be off the grid to protect something that might happen bad. The only reason why I say that is because you had mentioned it in one of your shows that it might happen. And, you know, and there are people that have claimed to see things that the government doesn't want to have reported. And they've been threatened and said if you say anything, we'll make you disappear. I'm just wondering if that has ever happened to you.
No, it hasn't, and I'm off the grid by choice. I'm not off the grid because I fear anything diabolical or horrible is on the horizon.
Nobody's breathing over your shoulder.
I'm off the grid because it's a unique way to live with no dependency upon any type of government services. I provide my own electricity. My house is completely solar. I live off the sun, and what happens then, and that's what makes doing this show very difficult for me, when you live off the grid, you truly live when it's dark, you sleep, and when it's light, you're awake. I hope people understand that concept.
Jesse, we're coming back for final questions with you in just a moment. Next hour, we'll talk about the boy who died and came back with Robert Moss. Looking forward to that, and when we come back in a moment, with Jesse Ventura, we'll take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Jesse Ventura. Jesse, as president, you could do your own talk show out of the White House, take phone calls. People would love that.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, although I did have my own radio show when I was governor. I would go on every Friday on the local radio and discuss directly to and from with the people.
And I bet you were flooded with phone calls.
Yeah, I imagine I was. You know, as the performer, you really don't always know how many calls there actually are, you know, because they're fed to you by the producer and all that stuff. But, no, I have that show on, you know, where I talk every Friday to the people. I do a radio show statewide.
Like I'll ask the governor or something like that?
Yeah, or whatever. Or I just talk about current things going on in the state and current policy stuff. And you have to do what you can to battle the Democrats and Republicans because, you know, the thing to always remember is the mainstream media is in their back pocket, not yours.
That's true.
And you know, so you have to try to control it anywhere you can. It's like interesting. I it just became clear to me, you know, I've been a Kennedy, studying the Kennedy murder. I'm one of those people that's been a buff on it for years, and I spend a lot of time reading different things, and I read something the other day that was so profound to me about why the mainstream media will never, ever admit there was a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy, President Kennedy, and here's why. That's the story and the crime of that whole century. And if they got it wrong, they'll never admit to getting it wrong. The greatest crime of the century, and they were wrong.
And they took the government handout.
Yeah. And the point is, they will never, ever. You could come up today with an authentic film showing a shooter on the grassy knoll, shooting, you know, splitting the president's head in two pieces, you know, and they still wouldn't believe it. They still wouldn't acknowledge it. They will never, ever acknowledge that there was that conspiracy when it's so obvious.
Yeah, it really was. I'm like you, Jesse. I'm a buff of that. And we do our Kennedy assassination show every year and bring on all the guests. And, I mean, it's universal how many people believe it is now a conspiracy, that there were many.
Well, as they should. I'll tell you, the guy who I really, and I got into his books heavy, was Harold Weisberg.
Yes.
Oh, man.
He was good. Mark Lane, another one.
Now, to me, Mark Lane pales to Harold Weisberg. You know, Harold had that first book, Whitewash, out 1 year after the Warren Commission. He had digested every one of them documents, and that's what he did for a living for the CIA before they were the CIA. That was his job. He was an analyst.
He was spot on.
Oh, and he dissected that thing. Like, I love his quote. He said, "The president of the United States got an autopsy fitting of a Bowery bum."
So true.
You know? A Bowery bum would have got a better autopsy than what our president did.
They either botched it on purpose. Who knows?
Well, they had to have. They couldn't have been that incompetent.
No, that's right. Patricia's in Jupiter, Florida. Go ahead, Patricia.
Hello.
Howdy.
Thank you, George, for taking my call. I'm a little nervous.
Ah, you're fine.
And Jesse, I'm very proud of you. You're good governor. You're very good. Someone took my call about the gold standards, so I'm going to ask you a question. If you were president, would you take the Social Security and put it back out of the slush fund and put it back so the government could not touch it?
Well, Social Security, you know, it was supposed to be its own fund, and of course, then they realized that they could rob from it, and they did, and have, and now the people who are working now pay for the people who are retired. You'd have to get in there. What I would do more so, and naturally, I feel Social Security should exist, absolutely. By God, I want mine. And they're screwing me on mine right now. I'm eligible, but I can't take it until I'm 66. But that aside,
that's because you're earning money doing something else, right?
Yeah. And they penalize you.
That's right.
How the hell can they penalize you when it's your money?
It's your money, and you're paying taxes on that too.
Yes, it's so asinine. I want to pound my head on the wall and scream and go, how the hell do Democrats and Republicans create a thing so screwed up as this is now?
You should be able to get to a certain age and get it, no matter what you do. It's yours.
Exactly. It's yours. You put it in. It's an insurance policy. But anyway, that aside, I think the bigger issue I would do as president is this, George. I would abolish the income tax and go to a national sales tax.
They would love you.
Well, the reason being is this. With a sales tax, it makes you number one. You get your money first.
That's right.
Right now, the government's number one. They get it first. You get it second.
And you also get taxes off all this drug money that's out there.
Oh, God. You get taxes off everything. And here's the other thing. As an individual, you would never face the Internal Revenue again.
You wouldn't have to.
No, because all taxes would be paid business to government. And people have said to me, well, then what would you do with Internal Revenue? They'd all be unemployed. No, you reverse their role. You make them the watchdogs of the businesses and the government to ensure they're spending our taxes right.
That's right.
You reverse them. Instead of Internal Revenue watching us citizens, you have them watching the government.
And make sure they're collecting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think, realistically, we're going to get that kind of a breakthrough?
No.
No.
Not with Democrats and Republicans in there. Are you kidding?
No.
That's the problem, George. I've told people, the solution to our country is as clear as the nose on your face, but it's as difficult as climbing Mount Everest. And that is this. We have to stop electing Democrats and Republicans and take our country back. We have to get these two gangs out of our government. We have good backers. George Washington, Tom Jefferson, and John Adams all warned us.
We go next to Johnny in Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, Johnny. Thanks for calling.
Hello, George. The voice in the wilderness of radio. I have a very serious question to ask you. I want your opinion. I want Jesse's on the Obama deception. And I know you're familiar, both of you, with that. Obama said that a million-man civilian force, better equipped, more well-funded, better trained. I want to know what both your opinions are on this, and if he steps on our military's toes, is he just going to whip out another executive order and tell them to shut up and whip it out as many times as my dog cuts cheese in a day? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Well, first of all, everyone wants to let George Bush and the Republicans off the hook, and they seem to want to blame Obama. This all started with them in the year 2000 when the Republicans took control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and then allowed the largest attack in U.S. history on our soil to occur. And that's when presidents started doing these executive orders beyond belief, where they didn't bother with Congress anymore, and they've virtually, our country since 9/11 has been running like the Constitution and Bill of Rights are under suspension. And that started under the Republicans. Now, has Obama done his share? Absolutely. He's done nothing to fix it and done nothing to change it. George Bush suspended habeas corpus, for God's sake. You're right to a lawyer. I'm angry because Obama hasn't reinstated it. Jesse Ventura would immediately. And you know what else Jesse Ventura would do? He would pardon Snowden and the other kid.
McKinnon.
Manning.
Oh, that's Bradley, right. Bradley. Manning. Bradley, the military officer.
Yep. I would pardon both of them immediately. They would be pardoned. I know that's a little off the subject.
Well,
but
you know what I've said, Jesse, too, is that how could you chastise Snowden for finding something illegal and letting us all know about it?
And exposing that our government was lying.
Lying and doing illegal things.
And, George, not only that, but they're doing it to the Bill of Rights, which is the most important document to protect the citizens from oppressive government.
Right. It's not like he was giving out the codes of our nuclear arsenal. You know?
No, he was showing how they were violating our Fourth Amendment rights. That is a hero. That is not a villain by no stretch. And this guy should be allowed to come back to his home country and not be persecuted in any way, shape, or form. If they can pardon Nixon, they can pardon him.
Mason's in Orlando, Florida. Mason, you're on with Jesse Ventura. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Ventura, thank you for all you're doing to get rid of these parties. They're not in the Constitution. Listen, I've been watching this thing with this airplane missing over in the Indian Ocean. I got a question. There's an island, Diego Garcia. Why have we not been hearing that there's an airport there? Could that plane have landed there? And why are they saying that it landed in, it crashed in the water and there's no debris?
You know, I'm going to expose, I'm laughing not over this disaster, but here's what I'm laughing
about. Well, in being a Navy SEAL, you know about Diego Garcia.
Yes, I do, because it was my team that created Diego Garcia.
I have had so many experts, Jesse, say that that plane is there.
I don't know, but my underwater demolition team, Team 12, we were the ones that went in and blew up and created the port and the whole thing and the whole creation of Diego Garcia becoming a base. And that occurred back in 1971.
And there is an airfield there. One heck of an airfield.
There's an airfield as well as a harbor for boats because a lot of operations go out of there into the Middle East.
Truly an amazing story.
I guess my question would be, being novice to this, and if I heard this on your show, George, I would say, well, why would that flight be in Diego Garcia? For what purpose?
Some people speculate, Jesse, that those people, whoever they may be, confiscated this plane for some unknown reason, some false flag operation. And here's the problem. After the situation of 9/11, you really don't know what to believe anymore. So here they go.
Well,
you know, they.
I'll take that back, George, after the situation with Jack Kennedy now.
Well, that's true, too. That's where it all started.
That's where it started in my life.
Yep.
You know, but anyway, I don't know what you can believe anymore. I mean, look at when the whole thing went down with the shooting of those children in the school in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Remember how mainstream media for 5 hours told us that the shooter's mom worked in the school?
Yep.
And that was completely false.
Yeah.
That wasn't anywhere. See, here's the problem with the media. The media is all about rating points. They're not.
And being first.
And being first. And that's what gets you the rating points. They're not worried about what they're telling you is true or not. They don't even bother with it anymore.
The facts are secondary, Jesse.
Yep. The facts are secondary now.
They can
correct those later.
Starla is in Marysville, California. Hey, Starla.
Hi. Speaking to my two favorite men.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Jesse, I have a question for you. What do you think about this drought that we're having in California? Because everybody I know that up and down our block is growing marijuana, and they're just starting a new crop, and our reservoirs are so low. Our rivers you could walk across now. It's never been this low ever. And now they're starting these new crops, and they're going to be watering their plants. And what do you think about that?
Well, I don't think marijuana is going to be the cause of the aquifer going dry. I would tell you, you know what's way more of the cause to that? Bottled water.
Could be.
But no, I know that for a fact. One fifth of the world's water supply is located in the Great Lakes. It is illegal to take water from the Great Lakes. So the Nestle Corporation bought land on a tributary to the Great Lakes. They sunk their pipes in, and they suck that water out of there free of charge and sell it to you more expensive than gasoline.
Filtered and ready to go.
Not even filtered. You're just getting what comes out of the ground. You're getting the same thing you'd get from your garden hose. It's just put in a plastic bottle, and they got us believing that this is somehow purer water than the other.
But it's coming.
It's like when I was a kid, you could go up to the garden hose and drink it at any house coming home from the park. We never got sick or died.
But it's not coming from a mountain, Jesse? It's not spring water?
Anyway, though, getting back to her, let me go on the record. I am for the legalization of marijuana. Absolutely.
And let those people out of jail who are in there for this petty crime.
Exactly, because it's utterly ridiculous. Marijuana has absolute medical purpose to it. They're finding out now that it helps to helps people with seizure disorders. They're actually finding out, they did tests and found out, you know how they always tell you, you can't remember nothing if you smoke pot?
Yep.
They're finding it's the opposite. It's helping Alzheimer's people keep their memory because it does something in the brain that doesn't allow the Alzheimer's to rob the memory of them.
The drops are good for glaucoma patients?
Well, there's nothing bad about it at all. And here's one for people when you talk. Guess what makes the best biodiesel fuel on the planet?
Hemp.
Hemp and marijuana.
Yep.
So then we could get corn back to being what it's supposed to be, food.
You should run, Jesse.
Not a bad idea, right, George?
You know what? Why don't you?
Again?
What's the first primary? Iowa or New Hampshire?
George, let me state this to you and all your listeners, and I say this in complete sincerity. I don't think I can be the president, and I'll tell you why. And it's a simple thing. I'm incapable of going on national TV and lying.
That's why you'd win.
But the point is, that's why I can't. I think the president has to be required to lie.
Not anymore. I think people are so ready for change. You should do this for us. Just this. Get yourself in one of the first primaries and see what happens.
Well, how do I do that?
Well, you know that. You were the governor. You must have a machine behind you.
I was an independent. I didn't have to go to a primary. It was a governor's race.
Yeah, but you've got some.
In Minnesota, there's 8 people on the ballot that you can vote for. How do I get into a primary? I don't belong to a party. How do I get qualified to get on the state's primary? Who's going to do that for me? I don't have no machine in place.
Oh, I bet you could quickly have one. You're probably working on it as we speak.
Well, when they get the machine built, I'll come in and start it. How's that?
And if they get it, and if you get invited to debates, you know you're going to slaughter them when they have their internet polls after that.
Well, you know how I'll slaughter them? I even tell you right now, George. Did you know every child born today, when they take their first breath of air, they're $50,000 in debt?
Yep. That's right.
Now, who's responsible for that? The Democrats and Republicans. They've been in charge for 150 years. How the hell did they run from that?
Jesse,
if they ran their personal finances the way they've run the government's finances, they'd be bag people living on the street.
Absolutely. Jesse, take care. Keep in touch.
Okay, George. You take care. Thanks for
having me. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Aura TV. That's where you find them these days. I'll be back in a moment. The boy who died and came back.